Well, good morning, Bridgewater. I'm so glad you're here. Along with Pastor Jeff, I want to welcome those who are watching online. I'm glad that you're joining us through our online campus. I want to especially say hi to our folks at the Square in Montrose. We have kind of a microsite we've talked about in the past, and we have between 10 and 15 people that get together at this microsite. It's so awesome to have you guys with us, so I want to welcome you. Thank you for joining us from the Square. Today, we're in the third week of our hashtag struggle series, and it's a great series. I know as I've talked to some of our pastors, they said it's been a series that's extremely convicting for us. We're glad that you're just kind of listening in to some of the struggles that we have and what we're trying to work through in our Christian journey, and so you can pray for us, right? We all need help. And so in the last 2 weeks, we've talked about contentment, and we've talked about authenticity. And as we go through this whole process of thinking through what it's like to live a life that pleases God, we find out that it's really difficult to live a Christ-centered life in such a self-centered world. We really are this selfie kind of life, right? It's always about us. And so how do you do that? Last week we talked about it's very difficult if you struggle with contentment to find joy, to find peace in your life. Because if we're always comparing behind the curtain, our life behind the scenes, the things that we know, the frustrations, the difficulties, the struggles that we're going through, if we always compare those struggles to someone else's highlight reel, right, on social media, it's really hard to be content. It's hard to be satisfied when we're comparing who we are and what we have to other people. There are times we're going to be extremely frustrated. And we're going to live this discontented, dissatisfied life if really we can't get a grip on contentment. Last week, we talked about authenticity. And I don't know why this is a surprise to any of us, but we are all in process, right? Every single one of us is in process. No one has arrived. So I'm not sure why we create this image of ourselves sometimes, like we've arrived, like we've done something amazing in our life. We all have issues that we're working through at one time or another, and it's okay to let people know that I don't have it all together. Because frankly, we know that, right? So why do we pretend like we have it all together? What the world doesn't need right now is a fake you. They need an authentic you that says this: well, I don't have it all together, I still have hope, and my hope is found in Christ. Guys, I want you to know, and I said it last week, and I continue to say this, we are all sinners. Every single one of us are sinners who have been given the mission of pointing other sinners to Jesus. That's our goal. We're just sinners pointing other sinners to Jesus. Today, we're going to talk about rest, and we're not talking about just physical rest. We're talking about spiritual rest. We live in a world that is continuously overly stimulated in life. We have things like our smartphones and our smart TVs. We have our laptop computers. We have all kinds of things. We have headphones on all the time. You see those little white things sticking out of your ear? And it seems like we always are having stuff going on. We're overly stimulated. And as we walk through life staring at our screens, whether it's on our computers or on our phones or at the TV, as we spend time with headphones on all the time with some kind of noise coming in, let me ask you this question. How in the world can you find any rest in life if you always have noise, if you always have something stimulating you? How? How can we find rest? I enjoy my MacBook Pro. I really do. I enjoy the convenience of it. I enjoy my smartphone because it's amazing the things you can do. From my iPad to my Apple TV to everything I have. I love the convenience of all the stuff that's out there. I love that I have so much stuff in my fingertips. I love the Apple product to where it all syncs together that it doesn't matter what device I'm on. I can pull up my iTunes account, right? I can listen to my music. And it's always Christian music. We know that, right? No, it's 70s rock. 80s rock. So lame. Can you write that in your notes today? It's 70s rock that I listen to, okay? Appreciate that. Thank you online. If you can get that, I'd appreciate that as well. So, but there's a place where it's like, well, I don't understand it. I love it. I really do. The problem is I have this love-hate relationship with all of this stuff in my life. For the obvious reason, I enjoy these things. having so much literally at our fingertips. But I don't know about you, but what has happened for me is that I've become a slave to these things. This stuff has taken over my life. Carrie Newhoff, who is a pastor in Canada, said this specifically about social media. Like money, social media is a great servant, but it's a horrible master. How many of you would say today that it's a great servant, but it's a horrible master in your life? The stuff has taken over technology and entertainment. It owns you. I want to look today at a verse as we start in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, and it says this. I have the right to do anything. Now, I'm going to stop there, okay? Before you look at your spouse and go, hey, did you see that part of the verse? I have the right to do anything. Kids, don't go to your mom and dad at dinner today and say, guess what? I lived in church today. I have the right to do absolutely anything. Not true, right? Because as we interpret Scripture, there's times that we compare Scripture with Scripture. It's pretty simple. We look at the context. We compare verse to verse, chapter to chapter, letter to letter. And there are certain things in Scripture that God is really, 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 really clear on. And he says, if you do these things, it's extremely naughty, right? Don't do what the Bible calls a sin. Don't get involved in this. I want you to know that this little phrase, I have the right to do anything, does not apply to the things that God says in Scripture are naughty, all right? That it's sinful, that you're not supposed to participate in it. But it also doesn't have to do those things that God says this. Listen, like, you're supposed to do these things. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ, for God's sake, has forgiven you. That's not an option, right? That's what God tells us to do. So we're not talking about in the old days. We call about this, like literally this kind of black and white deal. We always say, hey, it's black and white. This is talking about those areas where it gets a little gray, right? So we talk about things in life and go, okay, it's gray. We have different opinions. There's not a Bible verse that says do this or don't do this. It's just kind of out there somewhere, and we're not really sure what to do. And so it says this, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. Because you have freedom to do something, it doesn't mean it's going to help you in your journey to become more like Jesus. Because you have freedom in the Christian faith, it doesn't mean that everything that you're okay to do, it doesn't mean that's going to help your marriage, help your friendships, help you when it comes to the context of the church, help you with your reputation and your testimony. It doesn't mean it's going to be beneficial just because you have freedom. So I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. I am not going to become a slave to anything. If I'm going to submit to any authority in my life, if I'm going to become a slave to anything in life, it's going to be to Jesus, right? I'm not going to allow the things of this world to control me in such a way that it diverts me from my relationship with God and keeps me from the direction I'm supposed to run. So Paul's looking at the church of Corinth and saying this, this is a city who is influenced by all parts of the world. People came in this port city and they're influenced by all other aspects of life. And they got involved in all kinds of evil practices. They were doing every evil thing. There's all kinds of immorality going on. And I'm sure there are Christians standing there going, you know what? At least I'm not doing those things. Like somehow the scale that we measure ourselves by is what other people do. So if I'm not as bad as they are, then yay for us. And Paul steps back and goes, hey, church, I want you to pay attention to this. I have the right to do anything. You do have freedoms, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything's going to move you along in your journey. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. It's kind of a risk versus reward thing, right? So do we step in? Do we get involved? How much do we allow these things to control us? I want you to know that God has given us the power that we need to overcome anything in this world. We don't have to be mastered by anything. We don't have to be controlled by anything. We don't have to be ruled by anything because he has given us everything we need to follow him and not let anything else get in the way. So many people in society have been controlled by things, by greed, by food, by alcohol, by entertainment, by technology. They've allowed those things to overtake their life to the place of this. When's the last time you spent quality time studying God's word and meditating on those principles and being drawn literally into the presence of God in a unique way? When is the last time you've experienced that kind of interaction with God? And what we hear is this: I'm busy. I'm so busy. And then what happens? I hear in another conversation, oh my word, I've been binge watching this stuff on Netflix. It's crazy. I've been through the whole series like in a week and a half. I watched like 7 episodes in one day. Do your toes hurt a little bit right now? Guys, listen to me. I want you to hear me. You have the right to have Netflix on your TV. God bless you. But it doesn't mean it's beneficial, and it doesn't mean it hasn't taken control of your life. I want you to know that for some of you today, as you look at this whole situation, you realize there's things in your life that are hindering you in your relationship with God. There's some of you that may say, this series is really not relevant for me. It's just like, I don't struggle with these things. We don't have a TV in our home. I don't have a smartphone. I don't have a computer. Like, I'm Amish, right? So like, I'm like happy. But I think there's enough people here today that you have become enslaved by some of the things of this world that are not black or white. It's just a gray area. I'm sure there's people online who have become enslaved by things of this world. You know, it's interesting, as you talk through some of the stuff that we're talking about, there's a thing that's come out. It's a new phobia that doctors have referred to as nomophobia. Have you heard of nomophobia? Okay, so a couple of you have heard of nomophobia. Nomophobia is this fear that you're going to be disconnected from your device. The batteries are going to run out. You're going to set it down somewhere you can't find it. Something you got a cell service. Have you seen people who've lost their phone? It's not necessarily for the value of it. It's like they start hyperventilating. It's like you feel like, hey, get the defibrillator out. Man, these guys are freaking out. They don't know where their phone is. Nomophobia is something that doctors are actually dealing with people. Said 66% of the people out there, generally in the population like this, they have this extreme, they use the word extreme anxiety if they are not connected. Those who are from 18 to 24 years of age, the number goes up to 76% of people that are just like freak out if they're disconnected. Guys, I want you to know something. We have an issue. We have an issue in our society where we no longer know how to rest. We no longer know how to be still. We're so inundated by all this stuff. Here's some statistics for you. Some of you say this is crazy, right? So you say, there's no way. That's ridiculous. I'm not that person. Okay, so what we're going to do at the end of the service is we're going to have baskets out there in the cafe. We're going to have you turn all your electrical devices in, and you can't use them for the rest of the day, and you can't turn them on until tomorrow after breakfast. Some of you would just start convulsing and twitching. We'd have to have medical personnel here to assist you. Here's some of the statistics. And they're kind of staggering. 58% of people don't go one waking hour without checking their phone. They admit to it. Not one waking hour. They have to check their phone at least once every hour. People, this is 50%, 59% of the people admit to that if an email comes up, as soon as it comes up, they have to look at it. Now, they may not open it up, but they have to see what it is. 89% of the people who are on vacation check their email every day. Here you go. 80% of teenagers, it was on the screen, admit to sleeping with their phones. Like literally keep it in the bed with them. 84% of people surveyed said this, that they couldn't go a day without their phones. We need help. We need counseling. Nomophobia is a real thing. Why do we have the inability to shut down? Why do we have the inability to turn it off? Why do we have the inability to rest? It's interesting. People who get into this place and they say, yeah, I'm fine. It's not a big deal. But it hasn't been beneficial, but it's taken over your life. There are people who don't get out of their chairs most of the day, and at the end of the day, they're exhausted because of their screen time. There's people who talk to people all day long by texting and messaging and everything else, and they're emailing people all day, but they feel more lonely than ever. As a people, we have to admit that rest is a good thing. Rest for our minds, rest for our bodies. And if we want to find this peace and this solitude, there are times that we have to get away from the bings and the buzzes and all the stuff that's going on. And we need to start spending time with God. We need to take time to sit there and be still and realize that He is who He is. We need to take time to be still and to realize that everything He's promised us is so amazing, and He's even beyond that in life. It's taking the principles of God's Word and just allowing it to saturate your life through meditation to the place where it changes your life. I want you to know that I enjoy my technology, and it's helped me when I study for sermons. It's made things a lot easier. I want you to know that I'm more consistent in my personal time with God because of technology. But I want you to know, too, that some of this stuff has taken over my life. It has mastered me. In Hebrews chapter 4, it says this, "There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following the examples of disobedience." There is a place where in the Old Testament they talk about the Shabbat, the Sabbath, where people would take one day. It talks about in creation, God created 6 days and He rested on the seventh. There was a period of time where our society at least would take a day to sit back and to rest and to spend time with God and to be renewed and to relax and to recharge their batteries, whether it's emotionally and spiritually or even physically. There's a time as a society we used to step back. And we used to enjoy the times of sitting on the porch, drinking iced tea, and just talking and hanging out. But in today's generation, we have to keep busy. We can't even have a conversation with someone who's in front of us without our phone going zzz in our pocket. And you have to go like this, and I don't do this, right? Like, I never do this. This is for you guys. And what do? Just a second. Yeah, there you go. That's great. I appreciate the... What an illustration. Online, we have phones going off throughout the auditorium right now. So, but we can't just sit on a back porch and just reflect on the goodness of God. We can't sit on the back porch and just be renewed in our minds. We can't sit on a back porch and just be recharged emotionally. Why? Because we have to be connected. We have to have conversations. We have to have Netflix on. We have to be looking at our computer. We have to be checking our emails. We got to check our texting. We have to go through social media and check out Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. What's being said? What's happening? We're researching stuff. And before you know it, we're in this life where it's almost like we live in this frenzy all the time. And why as a society are we becoming more worn out, more discouraged, more frustrated? Why do we feel alone? St. Augustine said this, and I love this. He said, God, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our soul is restless until it finds rest in you. Think about that. Our soul is restless until we find rest in you. We are constantly looking for something to fill our days, to bring satisfaction, to bring meaning to our life, or to fill the void inside. But nothing will give us rest like Christ. That's what he says in Matthew. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find what, church? Rest for your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I love it. Jesus says this. Hey, guys, in the middle of everything that's going on in our society, we are living in some unsettled days around this world and in our country. I talk to people every week who says this is really getting to me. It's bugging me. I'm watching all of this stuff and it's making me feel unsettled. It's making me feel angry. It makes me want to fight on different sides. I don't like what's being said. And people are getting wound up in our society. And Jesus is saying this, whoa, if you're overwhelmed, if you're burdened, if you're struggling, if you're living with frustration in your life, listen to me, come to me and I will give you the rest that you need. It's the same principle of casting all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you. We're trying to solve problems in our world. If we make enough posts, right? If we read enough articles, if we have enough conversations, we're going to fix it, right? How's that working right now? But he says this, if you come to me and you cast those anxieties on me, I'll give you rest. So here's a couple of things that I want you to think about. First point is this. I want you to learn to be still. Take time to decompress. I love this principle. If you work with your mind, can I challenge you to Sabbath with your hands? And if you work with your hands, can I encourage you to Sabbath with your minds? And what I mean by that is this. There are times, especially when I was in business, man, it was so overwhelming during certain seasons that you just had this pressure of dealing with corporations and dealing with customers and dealing with different stores. And you just had this pressure. And the pressure went week after week, month after month. And sometimes you're just going, oh, I can't breathe. Have you ever felt like you're drowning? You're trying to just keep your head above water? And when I found those times, you know what worked for me? It wasn't sitting still on a couch and going, I'm going to be at rest. I'm going to find peace right now. Where I got rest is because I worked with my brain all the time that I had to go do something with my hands. And people say, I chop firewood all the time. Why? Because you annoy me. You drive me nuts. I need some kind of peace in my life. And so I beat up wood. It's like, oh, I'm going to get him back. That's not true. It's really not true. I love these people. That's not in my notes. Anyways. But I remember one day my wife thought I was having a stroke down in the garden because I just sat down in the garden and I literally just sat in the garden and I sat there and I was just picking weeds for 2 hours. I don't think I moved. I tell you what, everything around me was really clear. I mean, it was like there was all dirt. There was nothing else. But I just picked weeds. You know what I was thinking about? Nothing. I just said, I need to shut it down. I need to turn it off. I need to rest. Some of you guys need to learn to be still. Psalm 46 says this. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Some of you just need to learn to be still and to focus on the amazing God that we have. And when you see unsettledness in our society, you step back and say, you know what? He is still on the throne. He is still in control. He is sovereign and he's good. And he's working things together for whatever reason that I don't understand for good and ultimately for his glory. If you don't take time to reflect on those kind of principles, what you're going to look at is this. There's all kinds of stuff going on. We don't know what we're going to do. And we walk through life and we're shaking and we're convulsing and we're nervous. And I want you to know, step back and be still and realize he's still on the throne. The reason he tells us to do it is because we're not going to do it by accident. We're not going to wake up one morning and say, there's 3 texts, 10 emails, I have some Facebook notifications going on, and I'm going to sit back and say, hey, by accident, I'm going to fall into this, right? And I'm going to just totally relax and be still and rest and realize that he's God. You have to be intentional about it. Can I challenge you? I can't do this, but I'm going to challenge you to do this. I practice what you preach, right? I'm not going to do it. I'm just telling you, being honest, I can't do it. Sit there for 5 minutes, once a day, and do nothing. Take your phone, take your electronic devices, and put them in another place and put them on silence. Tell everybody to leave you alone. And most moms are going, dude, that would be awesome. The pastor told me to do it. Leave me alone. And tell everybody to go in another room, and for 5 minutes, can you take time just to try to do as little as possible and think about as little as possible and just sit there and be still? It sounds wonderful, but I bet you can't do it. Because what I do, this is my prayer life. God, I'm so grateful for, I forgot to do that email. Okay, I'll get back to that later. God, I'm so grateful. Oh, there's a text. God, I'm going to be late for work. Even in our prayer, we have a hard time just settling down and being still and realizing that he's God. Can you do that without going to, I got too much to do. I got to start dinner. I got stuff going. Be still and know that he's God. Understand that there's times we can Sabbath, and maybe you need to build it, right? Maybe 5 minutes at a time, right? Let's build the Sabbath into our life. We'll reflect on things like the goodness of God, the beauty of the moment. Be still and know that he's God. Trust me, God can run this universe for 5 minutes without you. He can run it. He can do a good job. Secondly, we need to listen to God. We should need to learn to listen to God in this whole process. We need to step back and ask God for the strength and for the wisdom to listen to his teaching and to be led, that we would submit to the way that he's leading us. It's one thing to intellectually know something. It's another thing to actually do something with it. And I want you to know this. If you are in this process and you're supposedly pursuing God, it's really hard to pursue God when there's so much noise into our life. Usually our lives will reflect what we allowed coming into our life. So if you're allowing social media, if you're watching the news every morning, which I do, which I don't want to do, but I do because I want to know what you guys are watching, so I watch it. But I want you to know, like, I'm depressed when I get done watching it. I usually watch different sites, and I'm depressed. And typically what we're putting in, right, is going to come out in our lives in some way. It's hard to have this intimate relationship with someone that we spend no time with. And so if you're spending time binge-watching Netflix, if you're spending time texting people, if you're spending time on Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, I want you to know that somehow in your life you're going to reflect that if you're not spending any time with God. If you're spending time with God, eventually you will reflect that in your life, right? So my thing is, what are you reflecting in your life? Is it this chaos of society because we are so inundated by our devices? Or are we being inundated by Christ and he's changing us in such a way that we reflect him in every way in our life, whether we're at work, whether we're at home, or whether we're in our neighborhood? What are you reflecting in your life today? I want you to know that as a society, if we don't Sabbath, as a society, if we don't learn to rest and be still and know that he's God, how in the world will we ever pursue God like we're supposed to? How? here's some things you're saying, like, how do I do this? You got to be a plan. You got to make a plan. You got to be intentional. Some of you, again, you're going to start twitching. Just think with me on this, okay? Here's some places to start. No phone during mealtime. Some of you say you have that. Some of you don't even do mealtimes together. Remember the time like families would get together and like do meals together? Do you remember those days? Like Leave It to Beaver stuff? I just dated myself, right? So people don't even have meals together anymore. But if you happen to do a meal together, like seriously, who's ever in charge, right? Walk around with a basket, the bread basket, and go stick your phones in here right now. Take them and put them in a cabinet somewhere. No phones during mealtime. Can you spend a half an hour together just having a conversation? How was your day? What's going on? No phones. Put a time limit on your day. This is where I need to do it. People know they'll text me, and they'll text me after 10 o'clock at night, and I'll text them back, and they're going, oh, I didn't mean you to text me. Like, I didn't like you, because I'm there. They'll text me at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'll text them back, because I don't sleep a lot. So I'm like, hey. I do, like, I have issues. I know that. So anyways. But at some point, some of our pastors have done this. At a certain time at night, at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, they just shut their phones off, or they put them on like silence or whatever they put them on, because I don't, do not disturb, whatever you do on a phone. Like, right, me thinking, I twitch. What if I miss something? What if somebody needs me? What if there's an accident? What if something happens? At some point, put a time limit on your day. 9 o'clock, shut it down. Just shut it down. And don't turn it back on until the next morning. It seems easy, but some of you right now are going, there's no way I'm doing that. Here's one. Turn off social media notifications. You know when people do stuff on social media and it comes up on your phone? Ding. And do you have that squirrel mentality? Squirrel. Big, whoa. And you're like, you could be in the middle of a conversation. And you're like, whoa. My wife drives me nuts because, like, to me, I can't, like, stop looking at stuff. So if she's talking to me, Barry, I need to confront you, and because you need to fix this in your life. Yes, honey, I'll fix it. And it'll be, like, in the middle of her yelling at me. Just kidding. She's in the back, so I can say that. She's in the kids' wing, so please don't tell her when you go out there, okay? And it's like, zzz. And I'll be in the middle of a conversation, and I'll pull my phone out of my pocket. You want to make your wife mad? Pull that phone out in the middle of a conversation. See how that goes. Doesn't go well. So we have our whole family. We're sitting down at the dinner table. We say, no phones. Put them down. Let's go. Put them down. Phone's in my pocket because I don't put them down. Bzz. I need counseling. I know it. Put a time limit on your day. Turn off social media notifications. Take a break from social media. Wow. One day a week. Just shut it off. Just shut it off one day. When you go on vacation, certain time frame, just shut it off. One of the things that I did, I heard from a pastor years ago, and I love it, and I try to do it all the time, is when that comes to my personal time with God, I do this. I cannot open up my emails, my texts. I cannot look at social media until I spend time with God. It's just a rule. You can't do it. So I lay in bed, and I lay in bed. I have YouVersion Bible. I love it. Like this morning, I listened to like three chapters today, and I love it. I put my headphones in. Kim's usually sleeping. I put it in and plug it in, turn it on, and I listen to chapter. I'm going through the Bible this year. I'm going through the Bible throughout the year, and I'm just listening to the Bible every morning. And I listen to two or three or whatever chapters a day, and it's really cool. But I say this when I pull up, because I'll see that there's stuff on my phone, and I go, remember the rule. You can't look at it until you spend time with God. What works for you? Can I encourage you? We are an exhausted society. We are a society that feels alone. Jesus says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Folks, can you learn in some way to be still and to know that He is God? Remember what it says in 1 Corinthians, I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. God, thank you so much. I love the way so practically you give us stuff in your word that helps us for any generation. And while things change from one generation to another, we still struggle to just put our focus on you, to trust in you, to spend time with you. God, in this unsettled season in our country, my prayer is this, that as a church, we will learn some of these very basic principles, and in the midst of the chaos, they will see a peace that is not comprehensible by other people unless they see you as well. So, Father, help us to find rest. Help us to Sabbath. We ask in your son's name.